Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're at this morning. We're going to go back there for just a few more minutes here tonight. A couple of Sundays ago, I took a subject and talked about how that God uses ordinary people. And I'm just going to take that subject just a little further and maybe a little bit different perspective tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, this is the text we read this morning, but we're going to look at this from a somewhat different perspective here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Amen. I think that, again, tonight there's going to be things I'll talk about that will be very familiar to most of us. So I guess this would just be some time we're going to spend being reminded of the call of God upon every individual to be a worker for the Lord, to be involved in a ministry. If you don't have a ministry, if you're not involved in a ministry, then I pray that you will ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? What ministry do you want me? What ministry have you created me for? What ministry am I best suited for? Because you've designed me to fulfill this particular task. And what we have in the body of Christ and in the local church is a vast group of people right here in this place that have so much potential individually. But when you put us all together, if we all come together in the unity of the Spirit with a common burden and a common purpose, there's a lot more that can be accomplished for the glory of God. Amen. So whenever we talk about ministry, the first thing that comes to our mind are probably the people that are listed here as that were given as gifts to the church. Ministry gifts are a fivefold ministry gifts that have been given to the church. And we'll look at that here tonight for just a few minutes, but the New Testament church can't be what God wants us to be unless we all recognize it can't be accomplished by our human effort. It can't be accomplished by the wisdom of man, our own natural abilities. Sometimes we think if we just had more money, or if we had more talent, or more equipment, or better things, if we had, you know, and we can probably list the thing, if only we had this, then our church would be able to do what we really want to do. But in reality, that's just not the truth. It's not the truth. Because God delights in using the small, the weak, sometimes just the ordinary, like you and me, to do wonderful and mighty things. And we need to trust him to do that. And he has created the church to be a place, not where we just come together and we have a good time and we praise the Lord and we sing songs and we all that's wonderful and good. But we come together because the church has been called with a divine calling and a divine purpose. And that purpose is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to our world and to as many as we can get involved with. And so he's given to us these ministries, this gift to the church for a very important purpose and reason. He gave. He's the giver. He's the one that has established these gifts in the church. Apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers. He's set them in the church. Apostles, the word just means that person that's been sent, a sent one. So an apostle, I guess probably the closest that we would be able to identify with would be a missionary, somebody that is sent. I know that in the strictest sense, we're all sent by God for to do a work. But probably the closest thing that we have in our ministry and our church, the realm of our ministry here locally is the missionary. It's one of the purposes of the missions conference. It's not just another annual meeting. It is a meeting with a definite purpose to encourage the missionaries and to challenge the local church. That's the primary purpose of that conference, to bless the missionaries. And really, if you think about it, it's an opportunity for you to get to know people by name that are working in Brazil, or they're working in Africa, or they're working in India, or many other nations of the world. You have an opportunity, even young people, boys and girls, get to know people from the other side of the world, and that has an impact upon them. So apostles or even the missionary work has an impact upon the local church. I can remember the Hale kids saying to me last year, is Brother Bakri going to be here? And he wasn't going to be here. He didn't come last year, and because they had made friends with Brother and Sister Bakri during the meeting, and they admired them and wanted to know if they were going to be here. And so these little children, by the way, they're going to be here this year. They will be here this year. And so the missionary is a gift to the church. He's a gift to the church so we can get to know them. It can have an impact on our life. We can participate in a more specific way in the ministry that they're involved with, because we get to know them. We learn how to identify with them and realize that we are truly laborers together. And we can pray with them and pray for them and give to them and get involved in the work, just like we've done this last few services with the Myrick family. I heard about their situation. I heard about their need and what they were going through. And so the body gets together because we know them and we love them and we want to bless them and help them. And we're going to send them a box of sunshine. If you want to know what that is, you can look back there. Sister Lisa has it back there, and you can take a look at it. And so we are able, this gift to the church, these apostles or these that have an apostolic ministry that are going sent from their locality to another part of the world to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Some are prophets. A prophet speaks for God. A prophet has a sense of the times, understands, like the children of Issachar. They understand the times. They know what to do. So many times God will send people into the church who have a prophetic ministry, who are proclaiming the gospel. Sometimes a prophetic ministry can take place in a service whenever there is a message in tongues and an interpretation of tongues. There can be a prophetic utterance take place in the service. Sometimes even through the teaching in Sunday school or through the preaching of the Word of God, God speaks prophetically, maybe not necessarily about the future, but He foretells. He gives us instruction by the Holy Ghost concerning the times that we're living in and the needs of the hour. We hear from the voice of the Lord. And so we thank God for a prophetic ministry that is a gift to the church. And we all should desire earnestly to be participants and involved and even be used in this gift. Amen. He gave apostles, he gave prophets, and he gave evangelists. Evangelists are proclaimers of the good news. They are messengers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're sending out the message. They challenge the church sometimes. The church then has a response
to their ministry and to their message. Oftentimes, they are used of the Lord even to reach out into a particular area and to that community. And God uses the evangelist to carry the good news of Jesus Christ. And then the pastor, sometimes it's referred to as pastor teacher. It's all really the same Greek word, pastor teacher. But the pastor basically is the shepherd who watches over your soul. He is an instructor in the things of God, pointing you in the right direction and warning you when you get to going in a direction that isn't pleasing to the Lord. Thank God for people. I can look back over the years of my life and I can say, thank God for pastors that I have had that have challenged my life. They have made a difference in the future of my life. I thank God for pastors who believed in missions, that they planted the seed of missions in my heart a long, long time ago. And as a result of that, then we can be a participant even in a greater degree through the ministry of those that God has used here at this location, pastors that God has used. We've been here a long time, but there have been people, obviously pastors before us, Brother Huff, long time pastor here in the church, and the impact still is alive. Hardly a service goes by or a Sunday school class goes by that someone doesn't offer a comment and said, well, I remember when Brother Huff said this, or when he did this, or I remember a particular message that he preached or something that he did that impacted our life. Thank God for people that God places in the church as a gift to the church. Praise God. Now, all of these gifts that are provided for the church are for a very important purpose, according to the scripture. We talked a little bit more about that this morning in the service, for the perfecting of the saints. It just means the maturing of the saints, so that the saints are no longer like little children. They're not childish, they're not immature in understanding, but they have grown up and they have developed and they're maturing in the things of the Lord. That means you're understanding at a spiritual adult level. You're not a child anymore. You are learning more and more and more about the Lord. So he brings you to maturity. God places these ministries in the church to do that, to bring us to that place of maturity, to complete you, so that the church can become a force that God intends it to be, for the perfecting of the saints, so that we can do the work of the ministry, and that the church can be edified. Whenever we are matured in the things of the Lord, then the church can become a working force for the kingdom of God. Amen. It's never the will of God that there just be maybe a one or two or a few that are called clergy that are the responsible ones to do the work of the ministry. Not true. We're all in this work. We're all to be a part of this ministry. You have your purpose, your calling, you have your ministry in the church. And if you don't, if you're not, if you haven't found that place or come to that place of ministry, then you need to be seeking God about that. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What kind of a ministry do you want me to have? And it may seem small and insignificant, but God can use it to do some mighty things. Amen. Glory to God. I've told you about Brother and Sister Seymour out in Sand Springs, who came to our church the first Sunday that we were in that new building. We had rented a building for a couple of years and built the church. And the first Sunday they came in, and they had gotten saved, but they were in a church that was a long distance away. And they said, we just thought we'd stop in here and try it out. And they never, ever went anywhere else. They were there from that time forward. And I remember when they came to me and they said, what can we do? What can we do? These were middle-aged people. And they said, what can we do? They weren't singers, teachers. They weren't necessarily the kind of person that would feel comfortable doing that kind of a work. And I said, well, we need a couple to stand at the door and just be greeters. Just welcome people in the church. And they loved that job. And they did that job until they were not physically able to do it anymore. One day, Sister Seymour, who is now in her 90s, She came to me and said, you know, I really want to do more. I want to do something else for the Lord. Could I just send out birthday cards and anniversary cards to everybody in the church? I said, absolutely. She bought them herself, and she wrote little personal messages in them to everybody. And all the years, 23 that we've been in London, we, Marcia and I, get an anniversary card, and we get a birthday card from that lady that is now in her 90s because she took it on as her ministry. It wasn't just a duty. She wanted to bless people, and she wanted to do something for God that might be able to have an impact upon the church. Could I just say tonight, there's not one person here in this building tonight that there isn't something that you can do for God. There is something you can do for God. And you may not even be able to imagine or even dream of what God might want to do. Why do we want to find our place of work in the ministry? Because when we are working together, it's not two or three or just a small group, but we become a force that can't be reckoned with. I'm telling you, if the church all decides, everyone, from the younger ones to the older ones, I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to be what I can be for the Lord. I don't know what it is, but I'm praying that God would show me what He wants me to do. You might feel like you're ordinary. You don't have any great talents. But oh, God has given to you gifts and talents, and they might be small, but He wants you to invest them in the kingdom of God. Amen. Glory to God. So God loves to use the ordinary. He loves to use the ordinary. It's really His way. It's His plan to use the ordinary to do wonderful and mighty things. Over in Exodus chapter 3, there's the account of Moses, who is by now feeling like he's a failure because he was raised up in the household of Pharaoh in the palace. And for all of those years, he is trained, he's educated there, he's had all the privilege of being actually the successor to the Pharaoh, the next Pharaoh. He had it going his way. But when he saw the children of Israel and their burdens and what they were suffering, he had an identity crisis. He recognized, those are my people. Those are my people. And that's where I belong. Now he messed up when he went out there and took things into his own hands, and he slew that Egyptian that was mistreating some of those Jewish laborers. And as a result, he has to run for his life. He goes into a pagan land, the land of the Midianites, and there he joins himself to a man there by the name of Jethro. He marries his daughter, and he spends 40 years as a shepherd. 40 years. I can imagine every day when you went out to take care of those sheep, he was thinking, what a bad job. What a smelly job. What a dirty job to go at it. As a matter of fact, in the Jewish culture, those shepherds were very low on the totem pole. As far as status in life, a shepherd couldn't even, their testimony wasn't even allowed in the courts. It wasn't credible enough. They were just unimportant people. So he went from the palace to what it says here in Exodus 3. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. I'm telling you, he is so far out there and so far removed from where he had been. He once was in the palace, but now he is on the backside of the wilderness. And in that place, I'm sure he's thinking, does anybody even know where I am? And does my life even matter out here? Is what I'm doing going to make it 40 years that he spent out there taking care of those sheep? It seemed like a very ordinary and menial type task and job that he had. But I want you to know that God didn't forget him. God didn't forget where he was at. God's plan for Moses was going to come to pass. and it was going to be fulfilled. And that particular day here in Exodus chapter 30, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Now, a burning bush in the wilderness, a desert, was probably an ordinary thing to see, because they would just literally catch on fire out there in the heat of the sun. But the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the middle of that bush. And the Lord spoke to him out of the middle of that bush. And he recognized, I will now turn and see. I'm going to now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burning. This bush burning and not being consumed. He saw something is going on here. He heard the voice of the angel of the Lord. He understood. And you know, I won't go through all the account here. But this man, ordinary, on the backside of the desert, who no doubt felt like, I'm nobody. I am forgotten. I am forsaken. And my purpose is lost. I made a big mistake. And I can never be what God wants me to be. But God called him out of that wilderness. Take your shoes off, Moses. You're standing on holy ground. I'm speaking to you about your purpose. You're going to be a deliverer for my people. And I'm going to give you words to say. I'm going to give you the gift, the ability to lead them. All those years that he spent out there for 40 years leading those sheep around that wilderness was all just a part of his training for the process that he was getting ready to enter into to lead that million plus flock of people out of Egypt and across that wilderness. And God had given to him on the job training, and it prepared him perfectly for the job that he wanted him to do. So you may feel like, oh, I'm lost. I don't like what I'm doing. I don't like where I'm at. I don't like the ordinary. But God knows what he's doing. God hasn't forgotten you or forsaken you. He's able to use you, and he'll pull you out of that ordinary, out of that task that sometimes to be a drudgery or a menial type task. But God knows how to pull you out and use you for his glory in whatever way that he chooses to do. It wasn't just Moses, but you can go through the various ones of Scripture that God used. David was a little guy, insignificant, who went to take food to his brothers, who were much more impressive than he was. He was young and inexperienced, but when he heard that giant Goliath blaspheming his God, he couldn't take it anymore. And God used him that day and set him up for the divine call that was upon his life. As he stepped forward and God empowered him by the Spirit, he went forth in the power of the Spirit, picked up those stones and flung that stone toward that giant. He fell dead, and it was a great victory for Israel that day. And God used this little guy, David. Amen. That's the story again and again and again all throughout Scripture. Nehemiah was kind of lost in a pagan land. He was a cupbearer in a foreign land. But yet the Lord raised him up and called him to do what God wanted him to do in the restoring and the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And God used him and pulled him out of obscurity to use him. Mary, what about Mary? She was the humble little Jewish maiden. But the angel of the Lord appeared unto her. Mary, this is what I'm going to do through you and in you. So just about every story throughout the Scripture, you'll find that God just chooses people in their ordinary place, in the common task of life that they're doing, faithful to the task that they have, and pulls them out to use them to do what he has called them to do. And on the list goes. Simon Peter would have been a forgotten fisherman. We'd have never known his name if he hadn't said yes to the Lord when he said, follow me. Amen. Amen. So all of these wonderful examples remind us of the fact that God uses the ordinary. He uses people like you and me. And for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the church. The word edifying just means building it up. Building it up. To build up the church. To strengthen it. To build it up. To raise it up. Churches are going through a lot of difficult times. Churches are having struggles in a lot of places. They're struggling. And I want you to know that the answer to every situation in every church life is for every member of that church to recognize that they are called of God, they have a ministry, and that they need God to touch their life and equip them and show them exactly what He wants them to do. And then we're all bound together fulfilling the task that He has called us to do, then the church can become something that God wants us to be. Amen. Glory be to God. He says that we are not to be like little children. We're to grow up. We are to be maturing in the things of the Lord, and so that we can be what God wants us to be. Amen. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Till we, the word there means mature. It really means complete. Till we become what God wants us to be. We come to completion as to what God wants us to be. Under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're aspiring to be more and more and more like Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. That should be our desire. Lord, I want to be like You. And for You to use me in whatever ministry, whatever calling, whatever purpose. Amen. Now, I want you to know that if you come to me and you say, the Lord has put this ministry on my heart, and it may sound strange and peculiar what the Lord puts on your heart, but I'm going to go out on a limb for you. I'm going to take a chance on you. I remember when the ladies came to me about the prayer shawl ministry. I never heard of it, didn't know what it was. They said, we want to start a prayer shawl ministry. I didn't know what it was. And then I realized that this was of the Lord. These ladies were making these prayer shawls. And then we were anointing them and praying for them. And we've sent them all over the country. All over the country. To people that were sick. To people that were going through all kinds of situations. We've got this one. I haven't had the chance yet. I'm going to try to do it tomorrow. To get this one we prayed over Wednesday night. To get down to Pastor Chad Fugit. I hope to get it to him tomorrow. And God can take your natural gift, your natural ability, or what you have a bent toward, and He can turn it into a ministry and can use it for the glory of God. Amen. So like I said, I'll go out on a limb with you. Amen. If you want to do something for God, I'm just going to take your word for it. As long as it's within reason. but you know what I mean. I just believe that we need to step out in faith and believe God to equip us to do the things that He wants us to do. Praise God. What about it? Let's grow together. Let's grow together and be used of the Lord in whatever that task might be. Here's something I've been thinking about just this week. You know, we have right here in our church, connected to our church, we have about 9 or 10 that are like college age people that either come or come periodically or are connected here to the church. And that group, they need attention. They need attention. They need a Sunday school class. They need someone to minister to them and someone to encourage them. And so, man, that's a great starter for a Sunday school class. 8 or 9 folks in that college age group there that could be really used of the Lord. Amen. That's a generation that is slipping out of the church in a lot of cases. Just kind of walking away from the church. God, help us to provide an environment where they can learn and grow and develop into what God wants them to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. So there's all kinds of possibilities, all kinds of ministries that God wants us to be involved in. Praise God. Let's stand together. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You've allowed us, Lord, to be a part of Your work. Glory to God. Glory to God.